Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Home of the $5 Biggie Bag. Our thanks to Coach Mack and to David Poyle for joining the show. Coming up at 1:15 today, Pete Rose scheduled to be with us. Looking forward to that visit. We'll get back to the story from PaulKoharski.com and TNHighSchoolFootball.com that former NFL linebacker Ryan Fowler injured a Ravenwood High School football player at practice. You can read that right now at PaulKoharski.com. Time to talk some college football, though. Godfrey, Stephen Godfrey on the line with us. What's up?
Hello, gentlemen.
Godfrey, can you tell us where you are right now, or is it top secret?
Parts unknown. I'm okay. Working on something. Yeah, it's kind of strange, I'm not going to lie. It's one of the strangest locations I've been in my career.
What are you doing to Murfreesboro?
Dang. Wow. Inciting a booster coup.
There we go.
So Godfrey, you said before the season, when asked about Tennessee, you said what Tennessee fans don't want to hear is that it's going to be bad. And this is when people were thinking 7 or 8 wins at the time. Most Tennessee fans were very optimistic. But I will give you credit. You said 4 or 5, I think was what you said, and it's going to be really ugly. The best course of action you said before the season was fans aren't going to want to hear it, but you got to be patient and hope you start to replenish recruiting classes and players get better, and eventually you're respectable again. It seems after Philip Fulmer went on Vol calls last night, that's exactly what he's prepared to do. He said he has no interest in coaching anymore. His coaching days are behind him. And he said he fully believes in Jeremy Pruitt and what he's trying to build, while also acknowledging we should be 3-1 right now and not 1-3. And Jeremy Pruitt will be the first person to tell you that. And he's disappointed in himself and his coaches that they're at 1-3 right now. Is this the best course of action for Tennessee?
Yes. Nobody wants to hear that, but yes, because the market is not going to offer you up a better solution. It's not going to give you a solution in a more timely manner. There's literally no one in college football that Tennessee could get who would somehow change this timeline. Okay. There's no magic fix out there. I don't want to take anything away from Pruitt in a negative sense. It's very possible that a lot of the other coaches that were mentioned in the late stage of that crazy hiring process, they would have gone through a similar situation. Maybe they lose to Georgia State, right? Maybe they lose to BYU or one or the other. It's very possible. I thought the Fulmer thing, I from what I've read of it, it didn't look like the typical kiss of death from an AD. I think it's a unique situation because Fulmer is so often associated with that job. I wrote something about it. Everyone's written something about it. I think, if anything, it was more Fulmer sort of setting the record straight on himself than it was about his coach. But my question is, what kind of tolerance level will the Tennessee faithful / the Tennessee sort of decision makers have if they go out and just get murdered this next month? Because it's very possible that could happen.
Yeah, and this is what is fascinating to me about the whole Fulmer part of this, is that he had his problems with Tennessee boosters leading to him getting fired in 2008. There were people who were adamantly against, hey, we need a change. There were some people who supported him. Those people who supported him, he's still close with today. He's probably a little bit more on the outs of people that didn't, but I think he's okay with their money. So if it's Philip Fulmer making the call, and it becomes Philip Fulmer versus the Tennessee fan base / boosters. Let's say a lot of high money people make up their mind because of the way the rest of the season looks that Jeremy Pruitt's never going to figure it out. We're going to need to make a change sooner rather than later. What is it going to look like if it's Philip Fulmer saying, no, I hired the guy. I know he can coach football. They're going to figure it out starting next year. That, to me, is what's in the balance right now with the whole dynamic of Tennessee football. Would you agree or disagree with that?
No, I think that's a pretty good assessment. And if it comes down to Fulmer versus an alignment, like a federation of money people and decision makers, I mean, we've seen what happens. It's very easy to get rid of a Tennessee AD during crisis because of what happened last time with Curry. But I think the only human being that could pull this off is Fulmer because of the equity that he has built up. I think he knows how to run PR a heck of a lot. I can never figure out which things I can say on the radio. I'm sorry. A heck of a lot better than John Curry ever
You can
did.
Say hell. It's okay.
Okay. All right. Good deal. See, if I had been in studio, I was just going to complain about how bad the Titans are with the Falcons, and then you guys would have had to pay an SEC fine. I think he's the only human being that has the personality to do that, to spend an entire offseason cycle assuring people yet again that this thing is on its way towards being fixed. Because I think one of the things that's really unique about the hardcore Tennessee base, not really so much Nashville, kind of where it stops. Because Nashville, you have other things to do. You have professional sports franchises. I think the prospect of another 10-month cycle of saying, no, guys, seriously, it's going to be fine, feels very, very daunting. And he may be the only human being who can pull that off at this point. Auburn is good at football. Exceptionally so.
Are you buying them like across the SEC right now, though?
No, because I think their sample's a little jacked up because the two best defensive players from Mississippi State did not play. We've sort of figured out a riddle about that, by the way, that they're only playing those players in winnable games, and they deemed Auburn to be unwinnable. Nevertheless, what I think that we should stop and say is that for all the criticism of Gus Malzahn and the fact that he always be under referendum and always on the hot seat, he's done an exceptional job so far of developing yet another young quarterback. They're running the ball well, and they're playing exceptional defense, and I do believe they have the best defense in college football, especially up front. All of this is to say that, yes, I don't think it's going to be much of a game against Florida. I was really surprised by the line, and I'm not really like a Vegas person, but I think they're looking at something that we're not, I guess, because the offensive line play for Florida has not improved. I was in the studio after week zero, and I said, hey, throw that game out with Florida and Miami, because line play is one of the things that develops very quickly, and teams tend to improve in that area after week one, week two, and they haven't really. You know, they should have lost to Kentucky. They don't look imposing on either side. So I do like Auburn in this game a lot.
What's your level of intrigue in Iowa and Michigan this weekend?
Two very different ways of looking at it. Obviously, like, if you're going to beat Rutgers so bad, by the way, Rutgers fired their coach because they were like, you can't lose to Michigan that way. What a backdoor slide up, Michigan.
Of all the teams to get blown out by, all the powerhouse programs, Ohio State, yeah, it's fine. Michigan State, it's fine. Wisconsin, yeah, fine. Not Michigan, though. Don't lose that way to
them. Not the weirdo that drinks milk. That's where we draw the line. I think we get bullish on Iowa like every two or three years this way, where they do, like, they are especially Iowa this year. It's special teams, and they punt a lot, and they play great defense, and they hit you with the short game. And we get fired up because they'll go 3-1 or 4-1 or undefeated in this case. And then they go in and they play one of the stalwart sort of, you know, top teams in the conference, and they just get whomped because the talent is so far apart. Now, this is an interesting case because Michigan, I don't know what you glean from a game like Rutgers, honestly. I think Rutgers being in such disrepair, it's kind of hard to use that as a data point. And so there's a very good chance Iowa can play its brand of football on the road against a really good, really talented, I should say, team and win. That has not been their character in recent years. So on the other side of the ball, it's just a matter of, like, you had your get good or your get well game. You really better have, this thing should have worked on offense, especially in the passing game, pass protection. Shea, I don't know how you teach a guy to suddenly make second and third reads when he hasn't been doing it the entire time he's been in your system. But we'll find out pretty quickly.
So this is the rare Wake Forest question for you.
Hmm.
if you're looking at, and you can afford,
Google.
Well, you can afford to do this at Wake Forest, right? Patience in a head coach.
Yeah.
Dave Clawson, by the way, if you would have told me his 1 year in Tennessee that ended up with Philip Fulmer fired, he'd be doing this at this point in his career. 11 years later, I'm shocked at that. 3-9, 3-9, 7-6, 8-5, 7-6. They're 5-0 right now. They may lose one game all year to Clemson, and that's it. That's both a statement of the weakness of their schedule and the ACC, and also a really good coaching job by a guy who was allowed time at a program that doesn't traditionally win a lot to figure things out and get them on firm footing.
It's a couple things. For one, I do think Wake Forest is a canary in the coal mine. Wake Forest specifically, remember when they won the ACC? It was like, wow, good for them and all, but like the ACC must be pretty bad. And that's the truth. There are those, for whatever reason, that conference has a collection of teams that when they are suddenly successful, you know that the rest of the conference is down, which is absolutely the case. You have one world beater franchise, essentially, and then you have a bunch of question marks. And teams that are normally sort of bringing up the top end just aren't doing it right now. Florida State, Miami, Georgia Tech, you know, all those southern ACC schools that are supposed to be the football anchors. Now, to that end, you're absolutely right about your theory. The trick is you have to be Wake Forest to do it, and you have to understand and openly acknowledge your place in college football, which 90% of the programs who need to act this way do not do that, and that's the problem. The example to compare Clawson to is really Jim Grove, the guy who was there forever before him. They brought him in. They let him cook. They didn't bother him. They waited. I mean, this is a lot of great coaching tenures have actually started this way. This is how Frank Beamer turned around Virginia Tech. Nobody remembers that. When he got there, it was like bad, bad, bad for 4 or 5 years. And then finally, you know, they built and built and built. I don't think Wake Forest is going to become some sort of powerhouse by any stretch, but this is what it takes when you are a program like Wake Forest. It's just that the other schools, I'm not trying to make fun of them, by the way. I'm just saying, like, if you know what you are and you operate openly within those parameters, you can be successful.
Is Rutgers ever going to be successful in the Big Ten? Going back to when you mentioned them with the coaching opening, is this something that could ever happen?
Success, again, by the way, nice transition. It's the exact same situation. Understand your parameters and understand the context you're in. Rutgers is a little bit different because everyone remembers the Gochiana success. That was the Big East, okay? It's a completely different schedule than what you're playing now in the Big Ten East. There's really no comparing the programs. It's a completely different Rutgers in the situation that you're going to have to chart a new course for, and it's going to be really, really hard. Yes, it's possible to be successful. Should they be this bad? No. I think they have to change a lot of their organizational philosophy. But I talked to a couple agents this week about this job because when it broke on Sunday, all these names started flying around. Everybody's talking. And the thing nobody's talking about is Rutgers is not really renowned for a deep salary pool for assistants. And there's not much of a commitment in the way, at least what we've seen on a national level, to resources that would change the perception of your program. So you're talking about pulling all these, like, I know everybody wants to talk about Joe Moorhead right now, and I get it. Like, Mississippi State's a hard job. It's also a hard job that pays you really well. And he is actually recruiting pretty well in line for 21 and 22 at Mississippi State right now. So I get that he's from the Northeast, but, like, you know, they don't run you off with pitchforks in the South just because you're a Yankee. Like, he still has a superior job by every other metric.
Godfrey, let everyone know how they can listen to the podcast.
Oh, yeah, podcast is part of the Banner Society Network. It's available on all your fun podcasting devices and applications. So it's all those usual spots, Apple, Stitcher. I don't even know what Stitcher is. I just say it in the promo.
I have no idea what Stitcher is.
Sounds cool.
That's why we have to sound cool, because we're all old parents.
When will we actually find out where you are?
The story will probably be live in about 4 to 6 weeks, and then I will tell you guys later.
Inside scoop. We're going to get it from Godfrey.
Thank you, Godfrey. In studio next week, hopefully. Hopefully we'll see you here.
Yeah, no, very, very happy to be going home. Yes, I'll be back. Terra Firma in Nashville next week.
All right. See you then.
Yes, sir.